What up, boys? Say lessons from the late Parshas Yisro. What an amazing kavod gadol to be here in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hanan. Although I will point out, the Yujash Koyach is always to our alumni, YU Rosh Yeshiva coordinator, Rabbi Simon Italiander. I was last time much closer to the base manager. I feel now I'm farther away. I'm a little nervous about that. Although this is the floor I actually gave a Kol Yom Rishon on this floor one time. It's a great kavod to be here in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hanan, my alma mater, place where I spent some formidable years. Although this building did not exist. There was a condemned building over here, it's really a great pleasure. As always, I try to give my lessons from the lay for everyone to hear, but obviously knowing that I'd be speaking to you guys, I think it's hopefully extra special message for you guys. Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of time to think about this in my travels from Israel to Miami, back to Miami to Israel. I don't know where I've been. I think I'm still in Washington Heights now. And Mirtz Hashem, this idea will be one, hopefully, that you'll be able to take together with you. So first and foremost, what we're going to do is we're going to speak about individual growth. We're going to speak about the concept that I've definitely spoken about before, because it means a lot to me, where I see some people very much fail. And that is, they treat it as an all or nothing. Our religion is very much not about all or nothing. It's very much not about you either do everything right or don't do it at all. There are actually other religions that believe that. We certainly do not believe that. And people oftentimes sell themselves short and say, Hashem doesn't want to listen to my tefillos because of what I did last night. He doesn't want to. It's not true. These things are not true. If a person takes baby steps, that's what their Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for. And that's very important. And we see that. I think I'll give three examples from our parasha where we see this. Most startling, obviously, that comes to mind is, how is this parasha called Parshas Yisro? I mean, come on, Jethro? Right? Why it's a good quiz question if you come to my house and you do potpourri. So we'll ask the question of how many parshas are named for Gentiles, right? Answer? One? Just one? Balak, right. Balak, anybody else? Good. Sarah was Jewish, yeah. You're right. Parshas Yitzro, and yes, Pinchas, of course, was Jewish. And in any case, so you have this case of Yitzro. We don't really know much about, right? We have a little backstory of, you know, he got lucky in you know, who his son-in-law was. And then all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere with his grandchildren, with his daughter. The story is remarkable. What's so interesting about the story is Vayishma Yitzro Kohen Midyan. So of course Rashi picks up Vayishma, what Mashama? What was the Shemua? Kriyas Yamsuf the Melchemas Amalek. Quotes the Mechilta, the Gemara in Zvachim. What did he hear? What just happened in the parsha before? He heard Kriyas Yamsuf, and he heard the Mechilas Amalek. So there's a lot of interpretations on this. I don't want to spend the time, but you could look into the beauty of this. Maybe Dafka was a Amalek, that he was dumbfounded with the fact that a Amalek would attack the people who are most on the top, the people who just Kriyas. Are you crazy? Everybody could find out about Kriyas Yamsuf. Are you? Right? Happens to be that there's another interpretation that actually, right, I believe it's the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, who says, no, he obviously saw Mamet Har Sinai. This was part of it. Okay, so you have the issue of course, the famous Ramban, Muta Mutar Batorah, but Dafka by Mechilas Amalek, because it was the power of what a nation was able to do to try to bring Bnei Yisrael to their knees, and of course was not able to do that. So that was the juxtaposition of the Parshios. However, the message is much stronger, because he comes onto the scene, Yisrael, and what's the first thing he does, any good father-in-law, he criticizes his son-in-law. Yes. And he says to his son-in-law, I have an idea. I don't think he said it like, you know, yeah. You know, I don't think so. He used to be the Kohen Midyan. And he said, I have an idea. And he spoke about it, of course, as you guys know, the concept of Moshe not having to wait for all the questions, have a line system, and only if it's a real big Shiloh, then you could ask Rav Siv on, then you could ask Moshe on the Halachic Shiloh, what's up here? Okay? Good. So, honestly, this is a great idea. Nobody thought of it before. It's not, you know, that's not going on Shark Tank, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, thought of that. Nobody thought of that? No Jew said, hey, what about the long lines? I was, you know, this new thing that they started. It's not that old. This new, the groups, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're on a plane. I don't know who came up with this thing. I don't like it. They have to go to, you know, have to, whatever, I don't like it. So that keeps order. So somebody thought of that, like, name the parsha for him, because it... So the answer is, it shows the power of an individual. One person was inspired, whether it was all three things we mentioned or the two things, to take his grandchildren, reroute his life, reroute his life and go, and then say, wait, I'm going to do one thing that's going to change the way things are. I'm going to make people happier. I'm going to do it. One individual. Small thing. It's very little. But it changes. It's a big deal. Big deal. We named the whole parsha for someone like this. That does this. The message, of course, also is that when we see something good that happens, not to us. Didn't happen. This didn't happen to him. He wasn't saying, you know, he didn't have a bumper sticker on his wagon that said, you know, my son is an NFL, my son is Moshe Rabbeinu, you know? I don't think so. But he said, what am I going to do with this inspiration? Most people, you know what they did with it? Everybody knew about Kriyas Yam. What did most people do? Nothing. He did something about it. The power of one, the power of an individual. Later in the parsha, we have a beautiful, I believe it's the Ramban who says something beautiful. A great question. I never thought of this. Yeseres HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why doesn't it say Anochi Hashem Elokechem? Who's God talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to everyone. Ay, ki ishecha b'levecha. Okay, good word. But he's talking to the nation of Israel. Anochi Hashem Elokechem. Kaved es avichem. Ves imechem. I don't understand. Did you ever realize that? Why is it all in the singular? Comes the Ramban and says, you know why, Shkoyach, you know why? Because he's talking to every single individual first. He's talking to you. No, Torah doesn't apply to me because of my special situation. No. It applies to every single individual in your own way, in the way that you serve Hashem, in the way that you're able to do something different than everybody else. It's different. And for, you will say, the nations, you will say, well, that was them, this is now, things are different, it's very hard to serve God because we have something called smartphones. God says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's your God, your individual, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to anybody else. Each of us serve Hashem in our own way. Each of us have our own Kolos HaBrach and our own Har Sinai experience. Let's remember that the experience of Mamad Har Sinai is an experience we're actually supposed to have daily. Rav Soloveitchik writes so beautifully about the Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays, on Shabbos especially, is one of Mamad Har Sinai. He says the custom of standing for Kriyas HaTorah is because it's like Mamad Har Sinai. It's that experience. Because we are not, Judaism is not about history. It's not about commemorating something that happened. Zman Matan Torah Seinu is not, oh, God gave the Jews the tablets and the... No. He gave us the Torah now. Why do we have Sfiras Omer? We count the giving of the Torah now. We work on our midos for now. God's talking to us as each individual. That's the idea. Speaking to everyone. The power of what one person can do is remarkable without any excuses. Stop giving excuses.
Amen.
So, let's pause for a moment. Story time. Needless to say, I have an amazing wife. I had the great zechus of her joining me on the Yachad Marathon, which she won and came in first place amongst all women that were running in the Yachad part of the marathon, which is pretty impressive. A lot of young kids, a lot of high schoolers. In any case, we were driving one day And we had all the plans, you know, we're going to daven in Chamayrev next to the hotel, and we're going to go out for dinner, and very nice. And Waze, unfortunately, was lying. And Waze said originally that we're going to get exactly at 5:45, to Amla Chasidish, in Miami, it's an hour later, Shkia. At 5:45, we're going to get there for Mincha, and the traffic built up on 95, because all the Jews are in Miami for vacation. And it builds up, and I said, I'm not going to make Mincha. So first, my wife forgot who I was, and she said, so we'll pull over, you'll dive on the side of the road. I'm like, no. So then I said, wait a minute, this is a shout-out, okay? Please don't get upset. This is a shout-out. I apologize, I didn't know about this. Amazing, amazing. If you don't have this, you should have this. Kosher GPS, is that what it's called? You won't even say. So, it's amazing. Not sold you at Sinai. Kosher GPS. You click it and it tells you where the local restaurant is. For some of you guys, that's important. Hopefully, for your Hasidim, local mikvahs also. And the shul, the closest shul. It's an amazing app. I love it. Boom, it tells me, you know, 1.5 miles away. Get off the highway now. Shkoyach, we have mincha for you. So I got off at a Chabad of Emerald Hills. Maybe I shouldn't mention what it is because the story's not going to be so positive in a moment. And we get there, and Baruch Hashem, we got time. And I come in, it's like one of those perfect storms, 5:40, Mincha, perfect. And there are three people there. And I said, ooh, what do you do? Shtat, what do you do? The guy says to me, we'll get a minion, don't worry about it. I said, listen, a 5-minute drive is a young Israel. I know there will be a minion there. He says, please, don't leave. Because I'm saying Kaddish, do me a favor, stay. Oh, this is a hard one. I might miss Mincha, what do I do? And he says something chutzpah to me. He says, you got to have a little emuna. We'll get a minion. He was right, I was wrong. We got a minion, in Hasidish terms, after Shkia. And I was close to Shkia, we actually made Shkia. And one of the people that they called to make a minion, it was on speakerphone, so I heard this. Here's what he said, Rabbi Isai. He said, it's too early to daven Mincha. I'll be there in 10 minutes. So guess what? We waited for him to come. So this guy, like, he was my number one hated guy because he walked in. We had already gotten a minion. So we were in Shmoneh Esrei, right? And he walked in and he's like, you didn't wait for me? He goes, I told you I'd be 10. Fine. So now it's between Mincha Meir. Now, like, it's a little bit annoying. It's really not nice to my wife. Probably some poskim would say it would be better for me to should have done Bichidus to avoid any Shalom Bayis issues. Anyway, but I didn't. And I then texted her. I said, can I daven Meirv also? Do you mind? She's like, yeah, it's fine. So like, so he says, anybody want to speak a little bit between Mincha Meirv? So this guy came 10 minutes late. No, it wasn't me. I didn't get lessons from the lathe. He said, I'm going to speak. I'm like, I'm not listening to a word this guy says. Little do you know, I'm going to use it for lessons from the lathe. Uh-huh. So it turned out that night was, anyone? No. Chassidish. Any Lubavitcher? Yeah. Yud Shvat. I was guessing last week. Shvat. What's Yud Shvat? Yud Shvat is very, very important it's when the Friedrich Rebbe passed away, and when the Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory took over a year later. And he spoke about, look at what happened. He spoke on that famous day, on Yud Shvat, but think about his address that he gave. He gave an address to not more than 100 Hasidim, that we're going to make Chabad into them despite what my father-in-law went through in Russia and what would be happening in the Holocaust, in the Holocaust. We're going to take over. And look what he made it into, Rabbi Isai. Unbelievable. The power of one individual who saw 100 people say, no, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people. There's going to be a Chabad in Emerald Hill. Some people will show up late to Mincha. They'll be here and there and everywhere. Wherever you go, it's like, oh, another Chabad. Baruch Hashem. The power of one, the power of an individual. And he went on beautifully speaking about a pasuk from Shir Shirim that the Friedrich Rebbe spoke about and then he spoke about and said, we can't give up. We're not a nation of giving up. Again, it's the power of one. But I want to conclude with, I think, one of the most beautiful points. Ah, so beautiful. The parsha ends with the making of the Mizbeach. It speaks about the Mizbeach. It's
Ve'achavrim tasalecha tavneh otam.
It's a question. Pashut question. It's going to be a few parshas from now when we start learning about the Mizbeach. So if I were to pick a kli that were to be used for the parsha of the Aseres HaDibros, what should it be? What do you think? You can talk now. Could be on while you talk. What do you think? What kli? The Mizbeach. What do you think? What would you use? No? The Aron. The Menorah, maybe. Something connected to the Torah. The Mizbeach. So comes Rav Reuven Feinstein and he says, I'll tell you why the Mizbeach. He says, the Mizbeach, because, this is great, because the Mizbeach is different than steps. In order for a person to climb, his mind cognitively has to move one over one. Move up the steps. Some people like to skip steps and move forward. But a Mizbeach is a ramp. A ramp is really interesting. Because all you have to do is move a little bit slow and you get to the top. But if you're not moving, guess what's happening? You're falling backwards. He says, that's Avodas Hashem, says Rav Reuven Feinstein. Avodas Hashem is about moving up, even if it's a little bit. The power of the individual. All I want you to do is a little bit, says the Gra in Mishlei. The Gra says, that's the yesod of a Jew. Always moving up in small baby steps, but moving up. So the Mizbech at the end of the parasha reminds us of the Torah. Don't give up. Just keep moving up like a ramp. No, but it's more than that. Because if we think about the Mizbeach, we think about something beautiful. The fire of the Mizbeach. Because we're told that we lit the fire. The Kohen would light the fire of the Mizbeach, and the Ribono Shel would bring down his own fire. So that reminds us of what? You start, you do a little bit, and I'll bring down my fire to you. It reminds me of the Gemara in Sota, also the Gemara in Nida, Shlosh Shutfin Ba'adam. There's God. There's man and woman. The Gemara tells us in Sota, Ish v'isha, if the Shechina is Shor b'neihem, if the Hashem, if you take the word Ish and Isha, you have Yud and Hey, that are the things that are different between the Ish and the Isha, there's three Shutfin there. And if there's no Hashem, what's left? Eish. Fire. And that's why the Gemara says in Sota, sorry, in Gittin, on Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, when a couple gets divorced, it says the Mizbeach cries. Why the Mizbeach from all things? Because the Ish V'Isha, now there's just Eish there. What's the cry? The Demos. What's the Demos? It's water. It extinguishes. There's no connection between the bottom and the top. There's no connection between, I tried to light, now you help me. It's simple actions that make you move up on this beautiful ramp that is Avodas Hashem. We often think, no, we have to be mechadish, with the chedusha, with the... No, it's fine. Person's embarrassed to come to a Shabbos table and say, here's a word I heard from Lessons from the Lathe. No, I have to be mechad or something. I have to take a Ramban, and I have to take an Ibn Ezra, and I have to take... No, just say a voice in the parish, it's fine. Move up on a little bit. A little bit. Today wasn't such a good day, so today will be a better day. Tomorrow will be a better day. Davni Shimon Esrei, I don't really feel it so much. So I say to my mind, you know what, I'm not really... It's hard. Okay, for Modim, I'll have a Kabbalah. Little steps you have to take. But the same way that little steps help us grow... Sometimes little steps we don't realize move us even farther back. Certainly it's about what we are involved in, what we're watching, what we're doing, but also who we are and who we represent. Sorry to give this example. I'll try not to end with this example. Jews are very visible. You could wear a hat, but I know who you are. Right, we have that nod, even if you're wearing the baseball hat, because who's wearing a baseball hat in the airport except for Jews? So there was two people, they were wearing hats to try to hide their Judaism. Their payas are sticking out a little bit, and the tzitzis. And they called boarding for line one, the chashuv azachim. I'm only two, I'm a little chashuv. one. And I see them and I say, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. And I'm upset. I'm just upset. And here I am. They're going closer and closer. I was proven wrong. See? Of course, I was right. They go up and they go, oh, I'm sorry. They're like boarding number like 27 line. I'm like, oh, we thought everybody was boarding now. You didn't see the... Hashem. And so what happened? They're like, oh, we'll walk all the way in the back. Excuse me. And the guy's like, just forget it. Go on the plane. I'm like, haha, we got it. And then I get on the plane. And it's always bedlam on these planes now. Now you have to pay for luggage. And people trying to get the thing inside of the... And you can't get it in. It's crazy. So this guy recognizes that I'm Jewish. Partly because I was wearing a yarmulke. And he says to me, hey, can you help me out? Can you put your stuff... Can you put my bag underneath your thing? Because I didn't have anything. I'm like, no, Mr. Terrorist, I can't. And I said, actually, I was the first seat. I said, I can't put stuff underneath. He's like, all right, I'm just going to put my stuff next to you on the seat. I'm like, you're not sitting here. No. So, of course, 5 minutes later, the person actually comes to sit down in the seat. And he says, excuse me, can you move your bag? I'm like, I would if it's mine. It's not. Some terrorist came on the plane. And everybody's trying to find whose bag it is. And I know I don't want to say anything because it's embarrassing. It's a chilul Hashem. What'd you leave your bag here for? So now the person comes to get the bag. And I want to say, I can't say anything to them because everybody's on the plane. I give him the nod. One action. And then you have the opposite. Go on a yachad. It's amazing. In our hotel in Miami Beach. You think they know what Jews are. People ask me a lot of questions about yarmulke, this one. So I say, what is this? What's going on here? And I explain to them what we do. I said, you know, I didn't say it like this, but Jews don't just run races. Right? Maybe we would run a marathon. My ideal marathon would be mile one, shawarma stand. Mile two, kugel. Mile three, kishka. You know what I'm saying? You keep going. What are everybody running? What are you running? I said, we're running for this organization called Yacha. Special needs and sponsoring, raising thousands. And they were, you see the people in the outfit, wow. One action creates. You said, well, I'm just doing it to, now the whole hotel knows about it. It's like, wow. And the people in the hotel were saying, so well behaved. All these high school kids, they were very well behaved. One action, one little thing that we do, we just be who it could change everything. There are so many stories about people who became from because of one action of a person who just was nice. I didn't know that from people were nice like that. One invitation to a Shabbos meal. Instead of saying and selling yourself short, you're the Mizbeach. Just light the fire. You can light other people's fire. Do you know what talents you have? Do you know what the ability you have? Just find a person to a Shabbos meal. You can change their life. Learning Torah with them, doing one thing. You got to know that, guys. Don't sell yourself short. If I had to be in Gullus, Chas v'Shulim, this is the place I would want to be. The haven of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chanan Inspector of Yeshiva University. But what are you doing with the tremendous experience? What are you doing about the Kabedas Avicha and Anavichem? Your parents are investing so much, but it's baby steps. Don't bite off too much, because if you do, generally it's not a successful situation. My bracha to you is that think about the baby steps, the little things that you can do to change your own lives, and Amir Hashem will change the life of other people. And Amir Hashem, with that, as we say, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, we don't have the Mizbeach anymore. We don't say Bilvavi Aron Evne, Bilvavi Menorah Evne, Mishkan. The Mishkan, the whole kit and caboodle, the Mizbeach, the Tukabo, everything is inside of you. Take that. Take it with you. Change the world. A Parsha's name for one person, a Yisro, because he had one suggestion. The Torah speaks to us not as a nation only, but as each individual for what they can accomplish. And Mirtz Hashem will take with that tremendous Sata Deshmaya, the Rebbeinu Shem should give us to keep growing and growing on the ramp, even if it's baby steps, but always going up, mala mala, in the Torah and the mitzvahs, to give Nachas Ruach to the great yeshiva that you're part of, the yeshiva that you're part of now, and Mirtz Hashem for many years to come, Nachas Ruach to the Rebbeinu Shem.